Appreciate very much, brethren, the enthusiasm. It's feeling my forehead. I got a fever. It's called feast fever. I think you all know what I'm talking about. Some people will be going to the feast for the first time this year. And I think that one in particular always stands out. I remember my first feast above all the other ones. But of course, they all were special. Brethren, I want to go very quickly today into the first portion of this message, because it's kind of like an extended message. We're going to have the first portion for the sermonette time, and then we're going to have the announcements, and then we're going to have the rest of the story. So I want you to take your Bibles, brethren, and turn to Isaiah, the first chapter. Isaiah 1, you may not recall specifically what that's about, but it's a profound part of the book of Isaiah. And it's talking about nations. It's talking about conditions. It's talking about world affairs. And it's talking about why. And as we look on our world today, brethren, we are going to the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, in a time of increasing world trouble. We really are. I think most brethren here are very much aware of that. And it really does behoove us, brethren, to zero in on these things and to pay attention, because the world is changing even as we speak. One of the things that is happening as we speak at this point in time is three nations who are descendants from the tribes of Israel. Little old Israel over in the Middle East, the Israeli nation, the British people, and also the United States of America, three nations that were descendant or are descendant essentially from the patriarch Abraham, and of course his two sons, Isaac and Jacob. But what we see, brethren, at this particular point in time is the inertia of the governments of those three nations. They are coming to a point where they are becoming dysfunctional. Brethren, when that happens, when you cross a threshold, everything starts to implode. Now, I don't want to scare anybody, brethren, because there's a lot of things out there that scare me. And, you get serious about this, realizing that you just can't sort of divorce the things that are going on in the world from our minds and to pretend it doesn't exist. It would be easy to do that, brethren, because Bonnie and I, when we drive up here, you couldn't find a more idyllic drive coming from the Athens area of Ontario up through Carleton Place and then to Kanata for services. And it's peaceful and it's quiet, but this is rather unique, isn't it? It's rather unique considering the way the rest of the world is, and the rest of the world is coming into a time of increasing instability, tumult. Now, October the 31st is a deadline that is going to be crossed. The British people are tearing themselves apart because a minority of those peoples do not want to leave the European Union, but the majority do. Now, the government is kind of caught betwixt and between, because they do not want to leave, but they don't have the people on their side. And so there is great, great stress going on in that nation that is impacting the ability of their government to function. It's becoming almost dysfunctional. Now, also, in the United States, we see a similar thing beginning to take place, where the U.S. government, with two sides pitted against each other, it's a war of nerves. And what they're doing is they are going against each other until the last man standing is the one that survives. It's not sort of like cooperation to try to get along, to try to function. It's one or the other. And it's going to get very ugly, brethren, as continuing to do, because people have very strong feelings about issues like that. Look at what Isaiah said so very long ago, somewhere around in the 700s BC. He predicted this through inspiration from God, because God knew what humanity was like, what they were capable of. And, of course, human nature, what is capable of. And so this is what he's talking about. Look at this. Isaiah, the first chapter, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. I might point out here, brethren, that Jerusalem is always in prophecy considered to be the capital of not just Judah, but all of Israel in a sense, because ultimately that's where it fits in the future. It's going to be the capital of all of Israel, and as a matter of fact, the entire world, in a kingdom of God when it's established on earth. But here it's talking as a type, as it plays into and impacts the rest of Israel. Let's go here, verse 2. Hear, O heavens, give ear, O earth, for the Eternal has spoken. I have nourished and brought up people, and they have rebelled against me. Brethren, we see the secularism that's kicked in society. You see it all around you, where the traditional values, society is pulling away from traditional values to the point where we don't know what's up, we know what's down. I read a report the other day where over 6,000 people who are taking these gender-inhibiting drugs because the children can't figure out whether they're male or female, you know the story. But they're taking these inhibiting drugs to inhibit, to, you know, going one direction or another. 6,000 kids have died from taking these ridiculous, these hideous, these evil things that, you know, they're popping them like pills, some of these kids. It's a disaster. So that's just one aspect of this whole thing. But it says here in verse 3, the ox knows the owner and the master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people does not consider. Blinded, brethren. Israel is blinded. It really is. It says, verse 4, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord and gone into secularism and rejected the God of the Bible, brethren. We are becoming increasingly out of step with society. You and I are, because we believe the Bible. And that, in most respects and in most circles, labels us as kind of oddballs, really. But again, that should not intimidate us. It says here, verse 5, why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. Now look at this. In prophecy and within nations, when it talks about the head, symbolically, it's talking about the governments. That's what it's talking about. And that's what he's talking about right here. What guides a nation? The intellectuals, the leaders, the leading class, and so on. What's been leading our nations for so many decades. Look at what God says about this whole situation. You know, again, United States, Britain, and Israel, to name three nations at this time where it's really showing through. But it says here, the whole head is sick and the heart is faint. Brethren, that's a description of our nations right now as we speak. And again, it's going to get a lot worse. We're going up, brethren, to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, to rejoice. Because we know that this is not the end of the story. This is the darkness before the light starts to shine. We know there's a happy ending, brethren. We really do. And that shouldn't dampen our experience, our thinking, keeping God's holy days. We live in a dark world, brethren. We really do. And if we just focus on the world, then we can be in a state of despair, can't we? We can. But we focus on the coming kingdom of God, the return of Jesus Christ, which, of course, is what the Feast of Trumpets talks about, what it symbolizes. The Feast of Trumpets, the return of Jesus Christ. That's the answer. That's what the world needs. That's what Israel needs. That's what Britain needs, and that's what America needs. And so, brethren, we focus on that. And that is a very, very special thing indeed. Verse 10, he says, "Hear the word of the Eternal, you rulers of Sodom, how true that is." Can you imagine, brethren, God looking down from the third heaven at these nations, which were intended to bear his name and to represent his values. But he says, you people are just nothing less than the nations of Sodom. And of course, we know what happened with Sodom, brethren. We really do. It says, give ear to the eternal, or give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. Another shot across the bow. This is God speaking to his people, brethren. But he does love his people very, very much. He really does. Brethren, we are going to be keeping the Feast of Trumpets in 2 days. And I think it's a time of tremendous excitement because it represents a time when we will absolutely realize some very special promises that God has for us specifically. And then we're going to share that with the whole world. It is a time of rejoicing, brethren, so we can get excited. I hope that you have a little bit of feast fever, you know, touch your forehead. You might feel a little bit like something's coming on. I'll just warn you, it's probably a little bit of feast fever, and you're going to have the best feast ever, brethren. We internalize God's truth. It is a sure foundation. It is absolutely solid, and it is a blessing, brethren, that we can have that in these last days that are, in other respects, a very trying and difficult time.